Okay, so welcome everybody. This is Ken Rolla, and we are on the mind and emotions section of the Intro to Optimal Health with Living Foods and Beyond workshop. We're doing this over a teleconference because we had about twice as many people as we normally have at our live workshop, and things took longer, so this actually is the most important section. I didn't want to leave it out, so that's why we're doing this conference call. And this will be in your recording that you get of the workshop, so you'll get all of this stuff. Now, the mind and emotions, why is it the most important part of things? Well, we talked about all these physical things you can do and these practical things you can do for regaining and optimizing health, but what I see is very often people won't do these things. And so the question arises, why don't people do these things? And in my experience, it's a combination of two things. It's always emotional stuff, which always relates back to trauma, and it's also subconscious programming. So what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, you have to understand a little bit about what goes on in the physical body and how it interacts with the emotions and the mind, because the mind and the body and the emotions are all one thing. They're not separate entities, as we've been led to believe by psychologists. It's really, you know, when you're speaking about the mind, what you're really talking about is the body-mind. It's really one unit. You can't separate the two. And so when you experience anything, you know, there are all kinds of chemical reactions and things that take place in the body. When you get out of balance, it's very interesting, there are some very specific chemicals that hold information about trauma in the body. And those chemicals are called neuropeptides. And every cell in your body has receptor sites on the cells that these neuropeptides can dock with and lock into the cells. And so for those of you who are body workers, you understand that this concept of what's called cellular memory, whenever you're exposed to any kind of trauma, it gets locked into the physical tissue. And so it's not uncommon at all for body workers, massage therapists, and, you know, different people who actually physically, mechanically work on the body, and energy workers as well, to experience their clients crying and having big emotional releases while they're being worked on. And that's partially because that you've got these chemicals called neuropeptides that are locked into the cells, and when you physically massage them, you can release those chemicals, and those chemicals hold the information around trauma. So when you release them, you'll get an experience of emotional release. That's why very often, you know, when you do get a massage, particularly deep tissue massage, they tell you to drink water to help flush out the physical toxins, but also to be aware that you may have emotional issues come up, because that's why. And that's one little piece of the link between the body and the mind and the emotions. But the one thing that I've seen over the years is that any kind of physical imbalance or emotional imbalance always, always, always goes back to trauma. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a big, huge trauma. It could be a long series of little traumas. But typically it's the slings and arrows of everyday life that we all experience as human beings. And it starts from the womb, the moment that the fetus is sentient. You know, up until the current time, you are experiencing things, and whatever you're experiencing at one level is affecting you chemically. So at a very simple chemical level, it's affecting the neuropeptides in the body, and so that's locking cellular memory into the cells. Now, that's actually not a bad thing, because if you didn't have that, that's a protective mechanism. If you didn't have that, you could get into trouble because, for example, if you burn yourself on a stove, you get memory of that trauma locked into the cells, and it's a reminder not to mess around with hot stoves. And so it's actually the body's protective mechanism. But what happens, just like with physical toxins, is that we accumulate these emotional toxins over the course of a lifetime, and if we don't clear them out occasionally, just like with physical toxicity, it'll throw us out of balance physically and emotionally and mentally. So it's very important to, along with doing all this physical detoxification and healing and getting high-quality nutrients and all that, it's also very important to do the same thing emotionally and mentally, to detoxify every now and then, and to surround yourself with events and people and things that are uplifting and supporting and positive to you. And so doing things like watching television, for example, is one of the worst things you can do, because, first of all, you're being immersed in all kinds of negative concepts that you wouldn't normally in a regular day encounter. Television has all kinds of negativity, betrayal, sexual promiscuity, bad health habits, you know, you name it, you know what's out there on TV. There's just lots and lots of negative stuff on television. And you have to understand also what that does to the subconscious mind. Now, the subconscious mind is basically a big video recorder, and all it does is videotape or record your entire experience and play it back. That's all it does. The conscious mind is what helps you navigate through your day-to-day life. The conscious mind is basically, it can take in very little amounts of data, but it can process them fast. And so that's what helps you navigate through your day-to-day life. When you're going through your normal life, let's say you're walking through a shopping mall, it's your conscious mind that helps you navigate around and get through the mall and get your business done and get, you know, the things done that you need to do. But as you're walking through a shopping mall, for example, you may be surrounded by people and events and noises and things going on that your conscious mind will block out, but your subconscious mind records it all. The subconscious mind is vastly parallel in processing. It can store huge amounts of data and process huge amounts of data. And so your unconscious mind is recording everything that you're exposed to, even if you're not consciously aware of it. And that's why when you do things like hypnosis, you can discover things that you were exposed to, that you experienced, that your conscious mind may not even know that's there. And so in the event of trauma, very often what happens is, particularly in severe trauma, our conscious mind has a safety mechanism that will block out the memory of that trauma. When you see people in a car wreck and they keep asking, if you've ever seen anybody in a car wreck, after the wreck they keep asking what happened over and over again. They'll keep asking the same questions over and over again, and you can answer their question and they'll ask it to you again. It's because they have blocked the memory of that trauma, and the more severe the trauma, the stronger the blocking is. And so you've got that going on. You've constantly got your unconscious mind recording your entire experience, and it plays back when it's triggered, typically when it's triggered by events in the conscious mind. And so, as I mentioned earlier in the workshop, that the way that trauma gets stored into the body and the way it affects the subconscious is this. When you experience something that you interpret as a negative, from the time you're in the womb up until now, you will first, it will put a twist in your feet, in the field of your body, what some people call your subatomic field or your quantum field. But basically, you know, we mentioned that earlier that all matter is made up of particles. They're made up of particles that are made up of smaller and smaller particles. If you look at atoms that compose your body, they're made up of subatomic particles, or atomic particles are made of subatomic particles on down, and eventually get down to particles that are energy. They occupy space, but they have no mass, which by definition is energy. So the fundamental building blocks of everything is energy. And so when you experience a trauma, the first thing that happens is you get a little twist in that energetic field. And the energetic field is composed of particle waves. This is what quantum physicists are believing. They haven't proven this, but it supports what sages and mystics have said for eons, that this whole reality that we're immersed in is composed of little strings of energy. And the strings vibrate at different frequencies, and those frequencies correspond to colors and all kinds of stuff. And so within your physical body, when you experience a trauma, it puts a twist in those particle waves. And so you wind up within the field of the body, you get a twist. You get an energetic twist. In meditation circles, sometimes they call them Gordian knots. And I mentioned earlier in the workshop that when I did a 10-day meditation, my consciousness disconnected from my body, and I was able to see these knots in the body or in the field. And logically, I can't explain that, but that's what occurred. And so you get these twists in your field. They have a certain frequency and a certain polarity and a certain strength. And so that will color your feelings around whatever event caused it. And so if you get multiple occurrences, let's say, for example, like burning yourself on a stove. Let's say you burn yourself on a stove, and then later you burn yourself on a cigarette lighter. When you burn yourself that second time, it's going to create a similar type of twist in your field. And, you know, as you have more of those type events happen, they will tend to bundle together. They'll join together and create one larger knot in the field. And so those knots affect your feelings, particularly around that event. And so throughout our life, we're navigating around doing our day-to-day thing, and we're encountering these small and large traumas, and we get knots in our field. Those knots affect our feelings around different events and different things. And that affects our beliefs. And so it goes from the knot in your field to affecting your feelings to affecting your beliefs. And then your beliefs affect your actions. And so those actions, those feelings also are what affect the subconscious mind. And so as your subconscious is recording all of this, it has no judgments about it being good or bad. So if you're watching television, you know, whether it's a show about the horrors of war or the triumph and victory of war, it doesn't know the difference. It just records the information about war and the feeling around the war. And so, likewise, if you're navigating through life and you're focused on avoiding poverty or avoiding trauma or avoiding hurt or, you know, abstaining from something or trying to stay away from something that you feel is traumatic or uncomfortable, then what you're really doing, because the subconscious mind only records, it doesn't know whether it's good or bad, whatever you're focusing upon, it's going to record that. And so that's the whole concept behind, or part of the concept behind, concept of creating your own reality or the law of attraction. And there's also, of course, quantum mechanics involved with consciousness emanating from a person's mind and going out into the quantum field and then slowing down below sub-light speed and manifesting physically. That's also part of the concept of law of attraction. But what's interesting is that scientists are seeing this now. They're actually showing what's going on with the mind and how it interacts with the body. So, you know, if you're focused upon things that you don't want, as most of you have heard now between the movie The Secret and other sources, when you're focusing on what you don't want, your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between whether it's good or bad. And so that's what you wind up focusing on and turning into thought forms that wind up becoming physical. Now, what's interesting along those lines is I noticed with the stress blocker or the stress shield device, we're calling it stress shield now, that we're manufacturing, after about 6 weeks of use, I started noticing that there were an awful lot of coincidences and things coming up where I would just think about something and it would manifest. And so I really, from my experience and from that of other people, I think that those stress blockers, I know they're putting out faster than light particle waves called scalar waves. Some people call them tachyon waves. And I know it seems like what they're doing is accelerating thought forms so they manifest faster. So if you're focused on, you know, negative stuff and avoiding stuff, then you're going to wind up manifesting more of it. And in that case, with the stress blocker, even faster. So that's kind of the concept behind the law of attraction and how that works. And so back to this concept of the subconscious mind. So you're navigating around through life. The subconscious is coloring your actions. And every time that, you know, these knots in your field they also get triggered by events in your life. And so your unconscious mind, the recordings or the programming in your unconscious mind are what are triggered and play back. And so in order to change that, especially if you're triggering negative emotions or things that you don't like in your life and you want to change it, then you've got to do very specific things to change that habit. Now, what's interesting is there was a guy named Ilya Prigogine, and his name is spelled I-L-Y-A-P-R-I-G-O-G-I-N-E, Ilya Prigogine. He was a Nobel Prize-winning chemist who figured out that what's now being called chaos theory, that in the universe there's something called the second law of thermodynamics that physicists have conjured up a label for, and it just simply states that everything in the universe is going from a state of order to chaos, that things are going from more organized to more chaotic. And that was observed by looking at what goes on with machines and what they call closed systems. Well, the only thing is that with life forms and certain other systems, that doesn't happen. Whereas, you know, if you leave things out in nature or out sitting out in the universe, you know, out in the solar system or wherever, things tend to break down, to wear, to fall apart. But with life forms and certain other systems, like some chemical systems, those processes are actually self-organizing. And so Prigogine tried to figure this out, and he studied it, and what he realized was is that what life forms were doing is they weren't going against the law of thermodynamics. What they were doing was kind of shuffling it out of their way. They were basically moving what's called entropy, or this chaos and this concept of breaking down, the energies that do that, they were pushing them outside of their local systems. And so, for example, living organisms, you know, that's why they can regenerate tissue, that's why human beings and animals and plants can have babies and grow. And what's important about that is, you know, what that has to do with the mind and the emotions. Because if you want to break out of behavior or conditions that you're not happy with, you've got to change your mind. And so, for example, with getting healthy, you can have the best intentions in the world. I've met quite a few people who have consciously had the right attitude, been very positive and very proactive toward healing themselves, and yet they didn't heal, particularly with life-threatening illnesses. Very often you'll see, like, cancer patients who are really gung-ho, and they're doing all the physical stuff to the T, and yet they're still not healing themselves. And that's because at a subconscious level, there's something going on that's preventing them from doing that. And it can manifest in different ways. Sometimes it's simply by them self-sabotaging without them consciously recognizing it. And other times it's physically, you know, because consciousness can physically manifest matter, sometimes they're just physically preventing their bodies from healing with their own minds. So, you know, this concept of that Prigogine came up with of order coming out of chaos in living systems, what that means is if you want to change your behavior and you want to improve your life and be happier and healthier and all of that, then that means you've got to throw your life into chaos before you get to a new level of order. And so, practically speaking, what that means is that things are going to get worse before they get better. And that doesn't mean that they've got to get horrible by any means, but that just means that when you really change yourself at a deep level, that means that you're going to have to do emotional healing work and do these things that are not comfortable and are not fun. You're going to have to step outside of your comfort zone. And so that is something that's a big, big stopping point for most people. They don't understand that, you know, shifting in any way from where you're at currently takes effort, and it's not easy. It doesn't have to be real hard, but it's not going to be easy. It's not going to keep you in your comfort zone. Your mind has what psychologists are calling now a psycho-cybernetic mechanism. And what a psycho-cybernetic mechanism is your subconscious mind keeping you in your comfort zone. And so for example, you know, I have clients, they'll come to me and they'll say they want to improve this or that, and so I tell them all the steps, and then they don't do it. And they're spending money, they're paying me, they're, you know, buying stuff and spending good money on it, and they don't do it. And it's because they don't want to step out of that comfort zone, and so their unconscious mind, that psycho-cybernetic mechanism, will start creating excuses. You know, it can be something like if I tell people about food combining, and I say, well, you know, if you're really going to heal this, then you've got to watch your food combining. And so, you know, people start doing that, and it's too uncomfortable, and then they say, oh, well, I'll just do this or I'll do that. And they'll convince themselves that it's okay to do things that aren't going to get them to that new level of health. So in regaining health, emotional health, physical health, improving the mind, improving the brain, improving memory, whatever, you've got to understand you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. And that's a part of the process. And if you look at people who are very successful financially, emotionally, spiritually, people who are well-rounded, people who are successful and keeping in balance, those people have gone through this process and understand this stuff. And it's a rare bird that you encounter that way. I was very fortunate to have studied for a year with John Assaraf, who was in the movie The Secret, and he has a business mentoring program. I was in that program, and what was very interesting was the first 3 months of that program, before we got to anything financial, he was focused on meditation. Meditation, meditation, meditation. Every event he had, we meditated at to start out with. And that's part of the reason why we did the crystal bowl sound session before we started the workshops, because that actually energetically did more than just sound pretty. You know, I mean, it pulled up all kinds of emotions in people. But, you know, that's what you've got to realize, is that there are techniques like meditation and other things that can help you shift, and we'll talk about those. But I just want to make a big impression on, first of all, how these mechanisms work and how the subconscious programming blocks us by having us self-sabotage, basically. If you think about it, we're the only ones who really limit ourselves. I see that over and over again. I've seen that with myself. You know, when I started becoming aware of this and having other people outside of me come and help me recognize where my limitations were and what was blocking me, every time it was me. Every time. Manifesting money, business, relationships, whatever. All the stuff that was pulled up, it was based on trauma that, you know, could be big or small. It could be anything from a girlfriend spat 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago to something my parents did or didn't do or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, the question is, how do you get at that stuff and how do you recognize that stuff? Well, there are different techniques. As I mentioned, meditation is a great one. And one of the most powerful things I've ever done for emotional healing and for physical healing is Vipassana meditation, which I mentioned before in the workshop. Vipassana meditation, that's spelled V-I-P-A-S-S-A-A-N-A. It's in your resources handout. What that is a really amazing meditation technique where you do it on a daily basis, but you also can go to different centers around the world, and they will put you up and give you a place to stay and feed you. And in return, you sit and meditate and take a vow of silence for 10 days. So you sit 12 hours a day meditating, and you take a vow of silence. You don't communicate with anybody in any form. You don't have eye contact with other people. You don't write. You don't read. You don't listen to music. Nothing. You totally go within. And it's not real easy to do. It's not a vacation by any means. But it is one of the most powerful things I've ever done. So every couple of years, I go back and do it. And I can only take it about every 2 years because it's not easy to do. But that particular technique, I've done a lot of different kinds of meditation. And that one is the most powerful by far that I've ever seen. And meditation is much more than just mindfulness and getting calm. I used to think that, you know, that's what meditation was. Meditation was just getting quiet and getting calm and relaxing and calming down. and that's not it at all. Meditation has real physical effects. There are very often people that go to Vipassana meditation with life-threatening illnesses, and they leave with no illness. And I mentioned Dr. Art Martin, who's had success on multiple occasions in healing life-threatening diseases like cancer simply by working on people's minds and healing it in a few hours. That's the power of the mind. But you've got to get the mind to believe in it with every fiber, the subconscious and the conscious mind. And so that's not really easy to do. And Art has gotten very good at doing that. But that's the power of the mind. I've also met a lot of people who will tell me, well, I just want to heal this problem or whatever with my mind. I'm not going to do any of this physical stuff. And I have yet to meet anybody that was that powerful, because you got to be a really powerful creator to do that. And I totally believe that it's possible. I just haven't met anybody yet who can do that. Because typically the people who can do that never get into the problems in the first place, or else they've gone through it, you know, long ago and have processed through it. So even with the power of the mind, you still, generally speaking, from what I see, practically speaking, you still need to do the physical stuff. But again, that's a belief. You know, it is entirely possible, conceptually at least, to heal everything with the mind. And the mind is a huge component of it. So you've got the subconscious mind, you've got the conscious mind navigating around through life. And you've got meditation for healing. What other techniques? Oh, and let me finish about meditation, too. You know, meditation, it has a lot of physical effects. Daily meditation, one of the things it does is it quiets the mind and slows you down so that you can hear that inner voice and get practical information and advice. I mean, it's really silly, but, I mean, I meditate for very practical reasons. I meditate to get information. You know, when I need answers in my life, I slow down, I get quiet, I meditate. And so that's one thing it will do. Prayer, same kind of thing. You know, prayer is really just directed meditation. That's one way of thinking about it. Another technique for healing emotions that have been locked into the body is breath work. In particular, rebirthing. I found rebirthing to be very, very powerful, but there are different types of breath work out there that practitioners are doing. You guys met Robert Stewart at the workshop, and he does a very powerful technique. He does a combination of energy work and breath work and a bunch of different things. And it's amazing how it works. You know, I had read for many, many years that the breath was a key to higher consciousness. And for me, it was just an intellectual concept until I tricked myself into hosting a rebirthing at my house. And it was a weekend-long rebirthing session, very involved, and with 12 people. And it rocked my world because that was the first thing that opened me up to the realization that I had all of this trauma and pain locked up inside my body, and I had no idea it was there. I was in total denial about it, but also, you know, it was all stuffed away unconsciously. And so that opened up the floodgates for a whole bunch of emotional healing for me, and it made me realize how much stuff we can have hidden and not even know it. And so then that kind of put me on a path of, like, doing every kind of emotional healing technique I could find. And so so I did a lot of different things, but breath work is one of the most powerful, and particularly rebirthing. And there are some really gifted people doing that. Robert Stewart is one of them, and there's some other folks in your resources list. As you guys experienced at the workshop, another very powerful healing method is sound. And what's interesting is I'm seeing more and more people using sound to heal with. Iriliana, as you saw, uses crystal bowls that put out specific tones that, for some reason, they release this emotional stuff from the body. I think what it's doing probably is physically releasing the neuropeptides and other things, of course. But whatever it's doing, it really can shift you. It's just like music. You know, music can lift the soul up and really transform you and change your state. And so if you're surrounding yourself with uplifting, loving music and positive affirmations and things like that, that's going to have an effect on you constantly. If you do it every once in a while, then it has a little effect. But if you're doing it constantly, then it really changes your whole unconscious mind and your conscious mind. So you've got that kind of sound healing. There's also using affirmations, as I mentioned. And affirmations is simply stating or writing positive beliefs about whatever it is you're focusing upon. It can be yourself or, you know, where you want to be financially or where you want to be with relationships or, you know, whatever. But it's very interesting. NASA did a study with astronauts, and they put goggles on them where the lenses made everything look upside down. And what they discovered, they left them on the astronauts for about 30 days, and they observed that after about 30 days, the astronauts' brains would physically get rewired. New neural pathways would get wired in the brain, and the astronauts adapted, and they could walk around with the whole world upside down in front of them and navigate just fine. And so that made them aware of how adaptable the brain is. You know, we used to think that when brain cells die off, you can't regenerate them, and you can't, you know, create new neural pathways. Well, now they've discovered you can do both of those. And in fact, in the last 5 years, there's been more learned about the brain and the mind than in the whole past history of man and humanity. So there's been a whole lot discovered about the brain and the mind. And so this, you know, when they observe these astronauts' brains rewiring, they label it brain plasticity, and now it's becoming a popular notion. It's getting out on television and stuff. But you can absolutely, at whatever age, you can exercise the brain. You can do things like affirmations to rewire it. So if you're exposing yourself to television and the media on a regular basis, what you're doing is you're rewiring your brain to make it weaker, first of all. And then, of course, you're also locking more and more trauma and negativity into the cells of the body. And so one of the most powerful things you can do also is turn your damn TV set off. The television set, we'll get into mind control in a minute, but television, for one thing, is being used to mind control populations. But there's so much negativity on television. When you understand that your unconscious mind is recording everything, you don't want to be exposing it to stuff like that. You want to be very selective about what you expose yourself to. You want to be programming your subconscious mind with empowering, uplifting information and concepts and realities. So surrounding yourself with positive people, watching uplifting movies, doing uplifting things, that's the way to be happy and healthy along with these other physical things. Releasing trauma, meditation, sound healing, another one. There's a technology called HoloSync. It's another sound healing technique. It's absolutely amazing, and it's one that I most highly recommend. And what it is are subliminal audio CDs that you listen to. And basically they have recordings of music or rain or chimes or crystal bowls with a subliminal tone in the background. And you wear a set of headphones, and they play a slightly different tone in each ear. And what happens is those tones will cancel each other out because your skull is a resonance chamber. You know, sound goes in, and it bounces around in your head. It was designed to be that way. And it's also a resonance chamber for the sounds the brain puts out, and we'll get into that in a moment. But at any rate, this HoloSync technology, you put headphones on, you listen to it for an hour a day, and it will also physically rewire the brain, and it will release trauma. And it's interesting, that technology came out of Nazi World War II technology that was being used for mind control and to traumatize people. Because what Hitler and his mind scientists discovered, which has been around for thousands of years, but they took it to a new art, was that trauma will separate the left and right brain hemisphere function. And so if you traumatize somebody repeatedly, particularly if you drug them and do certain things that they did to enhance the effect, then what you wind up getting is enhanced eyesight, enhanced hearing, enhanced memory, Because if you think about it, you know, if you've been traumatized severely, you need to be on alert to protect yourself from being traumatized again. And so they discovered that by doing this, you had that effect, and they could use these people for information couriers, for drug mules, for sex slaves, for assassins, for all kinds of stuff. And so when World War II ended, and these Nazi mind scientists were discovered, and the horrible work that they were doing was discovered by the Allies, Great Britain and the United States and Russia went into Germany to divide up the spoils of war. And so there's kind of a race to see who could get all the best scientists and technology. And so most of these mind scientists wound up coming to the United States. And unfortunately, that research was not suppressed or shelved. It was greatly expanded. And those mind scientists were incorporated into our military and intelligence communities, and they've been doing all kinds of horrendous things ever since. And so mind control technology has developed to a great degree. But out of all that technology came HoloSync, because any tool like that can be used to harm can also be used to heal. And so there were people who understood this stuff who started using it to heal and reintegrate right and left brain hemisphere function. When you reintegrate right and left brain hemisphere function, those neuropeptides that get locked into the cells are released, and so you release trauma. And so it's a great way to release trauma without having to relive it. Whenever you go and see these practitioners who, you know, do these old methods of digging up trauma and making you face it, relive it, and process through it, that's an old, obsolete method that is very ineffective for healing and releasing trauma and emotional issues, because that event of digging it all up again re-traumatizes you. And I've been through that where, you know, I've done sessions with people and they dig up this old stuff and you wind up crying and releasing it. Well, I've got very vivid memories of that now, you know, so it re-traumatizes you. So the techniques that are working that don't do that are like HoloSync and some others I'll tell you about, that will simply reintegrate left and right brain hemisphere function and release the trauma from the cells in the body. And it works beautifully. So HoloSync, I highly recommend. It sells for about $170, $180, something like that, online. It's in your resources list. And what you get are you get three audio CDs with the actual music and tones in it that you listen to, and there's different levels. And it takes about 6 months or so to go through the whole first set. And then the price jumps to about $250 a set, and they have like 12 sets. But it takes like 10 years to go through all 12 sets. So most people, by the time they get this, the fifth set, they don't go beyond that because they feel so good, they don't feel like they need it. But at any rate, HoloSync has been a very, very effective technology for releasing trauma and also for de-stressing the body and the mind and also sleeping better, all kinds of stuff. I found even now with the stress shield, every now and then, if I've got a lot going on and I'm very, very focused and I get busy mind, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I get busy mind and I can't fall back to sleep, which is rare, but once in a while that happens, I'll just pull out the HoloSync and listen to it, and I use one level above where I've been used to, and it'll knock me right out. So it's really good for sleep issues. It's really good for any kind of emotional issues because it just releases trauma. When I first got the HoloSync stuff, Carol Underwood, who's on this call, told me about them. And I saw her go through amazing changes. I mean, I was like, what are you doing? And she told me about it. So I got them, and I didn't even have to pay for them. She, you know, very graciously gave me a copy. And I got home with them, and do you think I listened to them? No, because I had my own self-sabotaging going on, and I was very busy with my business and stuff, you know, and I wasn't focused on that. And so my wife, Pepe, started doing them, unbeknownst to me. So after a couple of weeks, I had an instance where something upset me, and I got mad at her, and she very uncharacteristically just said, oh, you're just being grumpy, oh, don't worry about it. And I was totally shocked because I knew it was like, normally my, you know, that would trigger her, and then we get into a whole triggering back and forth session. And so I thought, what are you doing? What's going on here? And she told me she was doing the HoloSync. And so that made me realize, like, whoa, you know, I mean, she was just like all calm and cool and collected, and things didn't bother her. So I thought, I got to do this. So I did, and it did. It really made an amazing difference, and it made a big shift. And you know, after about 6 months, I wound up not doing it again, and because there's always more work to be done, and you know, I got busy with things, and I probably made excuses, and so you know, then I got I bounced back and forth with it. And I still now I do it on a regular basis, but with the stress shield, I do it much less frequently than I used to before because I don't need it as much. But at any rate, Holosync is a really amazing technology, and they guarantee it for a year, I think. So if you get it and you're not happy with it, you can send it back and get your money back. But I highly recommend that. Another good one for releasing trauma is body work. Because as we mentioned, you know, doing particularly deep tissue work, any kind of massage, that will release the neuropeptides in the tissue. And so that's a good one. So you got those there, and there are many others. There, you know, there's counseling, there's very gifted counselors, there's energy work like Reiki and different kinds of energy medicine. What Art Martin does, you know, he does what he calls, psychoneuroimmunology, or psychoneuro-repatterning, I believe he calls it. But at any rate, Art is a guy from California whom I met at one of John Ashcraft's gatherings, and he gave me a brochure on his work, and I looked at the brochure and I thought to myself, oh my God, if this guy really is doing what he's claiming in this brochure, then I need to work with him. Because in his brochure, he was claiming that he had had people cured of cancer in 4 hours by working on their mind and all kinds of diseases and problems going away. And these were not things he was just claiming. These were testimonials from people that he had worked with. And so I did. I started working with him, and I hosted him and had him at my house for a month doing sessions on people and teaching class. And so I saw it close, and it really, really opened up my whole reality to what can be done with the mind. And as I mentioned earlier in the workshop, you know, one of his clients was a woman in Orlando who had her C3, 4, and 5 vertebrae and her neck fused together, and just by working on her mind for 4 hours, the bone physically returned to normal. So, you know, that those things can happen. But Art's very gifted at it, so he's also another resource. He's listed in your resources section. He charges like $250 for a 2-hour session, and generally most people, from what I see, they need, you know, 5 or 6 sessions, so he's not cheap, but he gets results, and he does guarantee his work. You know, it's like if you do a session with him and you don't get anything out of it, he'll do another session for free, and then if you still don't get anything out of it, he'll give you your money back. So he's a really good resource. You know, if you want more information about him, I can tell you more about him later. So, you got that. Now, I'd also like to mention some books that have made a big difference in my life. Because there have been a couple of times. Oh, there was one time where I was like, Pepe and I were like really close to getting divorced. And a book actually shifted it all. So, you know, the books can actually be very powerful as well. There was a wonderful book called Getting the Love You Want, and it's in your book list by Harville Hendricks, PhD. And basically what he says is that, you know, when we're born as babies, we don't have any way of communicating other than crying. And so that's exactly what we do. We cry to get whatever we want. And so as we grow up and learn to speak, we never really stop doing that. And so whether it's in relationships or, you know, with siblings or parents or whatever, we basically still cry and whine to get what we want, you know, if we're not getting what we want. And so, you know, that whole book is basically about how to become more conscious and have a more functional way of dealing with issues than just crying and moaning about, you know, getting what you want. So that's a phenomenal book. I highly recommend. Other books akin to that, there's a really wonderful book called Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. And I'm not sure. I believe this one is in your reading list. It's by Carol with a K, Carol K. Truman. That's also a really wonderful book. It explains how things work much better than what I can do, and how to heal and release things. And then if you want to understand some of these concepts that I've been talking about, but how the mind and the subconscious work. The guy who developed the Holosync technology, Bill Harris, he has a book called Thresholds of the Mind, and it's very enlightening. Really, really recommended book. There's another nice book, Molecules of Emotion, which explains this information I was talking about with the neuropeptides and the chemistry of the body and how emotion affects it. And as I mentioned before, there's a fellow named Dr. Bruce Lipton who wrote a book called The Biology of Belief. And his DVD, The Biology of Belief Light, I think is actually better than the book because the book is a lot to wade through. But if you watch the DVD, you can get through it much faster and understand it better because he has a lot of visuals that come with it to explain. And basically what he did was he was a cellular biologist who was examining the DNA back in the 60s, through now, and observed all how the mind actually affects the physical body. And what he saw was is that the membrane of the cells is the brain of the cells, and they have proteins that stick up like antennas, and they pick up your thoughts, and they move according to what your thoughts do. They perform functions according to your thoughts. And so your thoughts are constantly affecting your body at that level. Also, your thoughts are constantly affecting the water in your body homeopathically, as we mentioned before. So Bruce Lipton's work is really phenomenal. And he's got a great video on relationships and one on raising children. They're just wonderful. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. So I highly recommend Bruce Lipton's stuff. There's also a really phenomenal book called Evolve Your Brain, and that's by Joe Dispenza. That's in your reading list. And Joe Dispenza, he's just got a lot of great information about things you can practically do to improve whatever you want in your life, how to evolve your mind and your brain, and how to get what you want in life, how to maintain harmony within your life, and it's just a really cool book. A couple of other good ones, The Field by a woman named Lynn McTaggart. That's in your book list. And also The Intention Experiment. Lynn McTaggart, basically what she's done is kind of summarized what's known out in the cutting-edge circles of science and mind sciences and psychology and different areas, and kind of boiled it down into evidence showing that we create our reality. And that's not to negate the role of higher power, but simply that we're at the hands of God, so to speak. We're the little mechanisms running around doing things and creating things. And so the intention experiment, The Field, kind of explain how consciousness creates physical reality. And as I mentioned earlier, also a great book, Order Out of Chaos by Ilya Prigogine. And that one is not, I don't think that one's in your reading list yet, so you may want to write that one down. Order Out of Chaos, Ilya, Ilya, Prigogine, Prigogine. That's a really brilliant book on how this process is in the universe and within the mind and the body work of going from chaos to order and then back to chaos. We're in this. Remember, I talked about the whole universe is basically energetically structured like a giant spiral fractal. And so if you're looking down the barrel of the fractal and you see the energy following around the spiral, you're seeing it oscillating up and down in a circle. And if you look at it from the side, if you look at that spiral from the side, what you see is what it looks like a waveform going up and down. But it's actually traveling in three-dimensional time space in a spiral. And so so energetically, we're always going to be going through cycles. And so we're always going to be going from order to chaos to order to chaos to order to chaos. But you have, if you're conscious and aware of these things, then you have more input in how that goes. And so it can go smoothly and effectively and enjoyably, or it can be, really chaotic and difficult. The power is up to you and how you interpret things. And so so at any rate, Prigogine's work is very, very interesting to that effect. Another great one, this is a really good one, I mentioned Dr. Art Martin. He's got a book called Your Body is Talking, Are You Listening? It's a brilliant, brilliant book, very insightful. Art has just, he's a really interesting guy and very, very insightful. In your mind and emotions section, you've got an article written by him. It's called What is Unconditional Love? And one of the things that Art turned me on to that I thought was absolutely brilliant is that he said that nobody knows what love really is, because none of us, almost none of us, have a functional model of what love is. We never grew up with a functional model of what love is. And so very often what you see are, you know, people who grew up in abusive environments or less than ideal environments, and they interpreted that as love. And so very often that's exactly what I see with people who come to me. I see a lot of sick people who are making themselves sick in order to get attention, which is love to them. And so some people you will see who will attract abusive partners because they interpret that as love. And other times they'll manifest sickness and illness to get attention, to attract love. Very, very often, body workers will tell you this, people will go to massage therapists and body workers or doctors simply to have attention, which they interpret as love. And so it's kind of like they're buying love. And so Art, he just wrote a really wonderful article about that concept of how, you know, most of us never grew up with a functional model of love and unconditional love, and so we don't know what it is, and we don't know how to give it, and we don't know how to receive it. So, you know, all of this can be transformed, and the more we learn and the more that we heal and release, the easier all of this becomes. So anyway, I highly recommend his book, and he's got other books as well. He's listed in your information packet and the resources, his contact information and websites. And a great way to get Art to come and do some work, if you can't afford his rates, is just to host him. He'll do workshops and he'll do private sessions. If you host him, give him a place to stay and a place to do his workshops, then you can get free sessions from him. So that's one way to get Art if you don't have money to pay his fees. So those are some of the things that I've been exposed to with emotional healing. And those are the ones I think that work the best. The most powerful ones always are the simplest ones in concept, like breath work, you know, like meditation. They're tried and true. They've been around for a long time because they work. But in our modern society, not many people have the time to do that, or they, you know, believe they don't have the time to do that. Part of this process also is slowing down and changing your life so that you do have the time, so that you're living at a human pace. You know, we were designed to live with the cycles of the sun and the moon and the earth and nature, and not many of us do that anymore. We've got artificial lighting, we've got all these distractions and things, and so, you know, we're stressing ourselves by not sleeping enough and not cycling at a human pace and not working at a human pace. So, you have to slow down and find new ways of doing things and being more effective without working harder. And so that can take time. You know, it took me many, many years to get out of the corporate world and slow my life down. It was not easy at all. I paid a lot of dues, but it was worth it, you know, because, I mean, very often I have to pinch myself because I just love what I'm doing and I love my life. Another great book, also I found very practical information, is Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, and he's not in, I don't think he's in your reading list, he may be, I can't remember, but Eckhart is Eckhart, actually it's pronounced Tolle, Tolle. The book is A New Earth, and you can get it on audio. And by the way, all of these books, any of these that you can get on audio, if you go to Amazon.com or places like that, if you can get them on audio, for me that's a lot easier way of digesting these, because I can be driving around in my car and doing different things and listening to it while I'm doing other things and get it digested much easier. So that's another great book. Now another thing too. I mentioned trauma-based mind control. And it's very important to understand that we as a population globally are being mind controlled. Part of the reason why we're having the problems that we're having on this planet and as individuals is because we're being mind controlled through the television and the media. And most people have no idea whatsoever that that's the case. And that may sound like a paranoid conspiracy theory, but if you start studying mind control formally, reading about it from very reliable resources, you'll see that there is absolutely a very clear agenda that has been going on really for thousands of years, but especially since World War II, to control how populations and individuals think. And so if you want to learn more about that and how it works, a great book to start with is Mass Control. This is in your reading list. Mass Control by Jim Keith. Mass Control, Engineering Human Consciousness is the whole title of that. And what's interesting, too, is I'm not just speaking about this stuff from, you know, reading books and surfing the Internet. I've actually been exposed to some of these nasty people coming up with some of this technology and some of the players in this stuff, and I never sought it out. It just so happened that I guess, you know, it was, I guess, my fate to be exposed to this stuff. But I've encountered people who have been subject to CIA mind control. I've encountered people who are players in the architecture of that. And in that book, Mass Control, Jim Keith mentions many of the architects of trauma-based mind control. So, you know, I'm not just speaking about this stuff from theory. I've encountered people who have been mind controlled, and I have helped heal them and help them heal themselves, rather, because I don't heal anybody, they heal themselves. But this stuff is for real. And the basic concept of trauma-based mind control, as I mentioned before, if you traumatize somebody either individually or in mass, what will happen is their right and left brain hemisphere function separates, and they will be much more open to suggestion. And they will also develop better memory around that event. And so, for example, you know, most people remember when Kennedy was assassinated or when the shuttle exploded or things like that. Trauma events lock information into the cells, and it locks memory into the body and into the mind. And so, you know, Hitler and our government and other governments around the world, they know this very, very well. And so they will engineer mass trauma events to program people. You put it all over, splash it all over television, whatever the trauma event is. Sometimes they're engineered, sometimes they're not. But whatever the trauma event is, they'll splash it all over TV, they'll splash it all over the media so that people's subconscious minds are being bombarded with it constantly. Trauma, trauma, trauma. 9/11, trauma, trauma, trauma. You know, shuttle crash, trauma, trauma, trauma. Kennedy assassination, trauma, trauma, trauma. You know, why do you think the History Channel doesn't have actual history? All it's got on it is war. They should call it the War Channel. It almost never has anything on there except for stories about war and the Kennedy assassination and Martin Luther King assassination and, you know, so-and-so's assassination. Well, there's a very good reason for it, because they understand trauma-based mind control, and these networks are being used to do exactly that. So if you understand this concept that whatever you're exposing your subconscious mind to is recording it and playing it back when it's triggered, they know this very well. So they program you, and then they trigger you. They program you, and you trigger you. So Mass Control is a good book on the history of it. If you want to understand the techniques of it, there's a book called Transformation of America. And that book is spelled T-R-A-N-C-E, and this is in your reading list. Trance, T-R-A-N-C-E. Formation of America. It's written by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. And it's a difficult read because she was a high-level CIA mind control slave who wound up breaking her programming with help from a CIA agent who fell in love with her. And she wound up testifying before Congress and exposing this stuff. And so she details the techniques of it, and it's difficult because there's a lot of really gory, nasty stuff in that book. But if you can make it through it, first of all, it'll rock your whole worldview. But if you make it through it, it will also get you to understand how, you know, what the techniques of mind control are, and so then you can recognize it when it's being used in the media in different locations. And it's so blatantly obvious when you understand. It's like God programming, Disney programming, musical programming. Music, Disney movies, all kinds of stuff, they are being used to program people, particularly individuals, but sometimes in mass. And so it's not that they're being, like, for example, like Snow White, isn't, you know, it's not being created to mind control people necessarily, but it's being used by people who understand mind control to program people. And so it's a subject that's well worth looking into, because when you, it's like when you buy a car, a particular model car, and you're driving down the road, then everywhere you see that model of car, you notice it. It's the same thing with mind control. Once you understand the techniques of mind control, then you know when it's being used on you. And that's when you'll really turn your damn TV off, because, you know, that's one of the most heinous mind control devices that there is. It creates a collective consciousness of death and disempowerment. And when you understand that you're creating your physical reality, and you understand that you're being programmed to create that, it's no wonder that people are having problems. So, highly recommend learning about mind control. Okay? So, I think that is probably most of what I wanted to cover. Let me see. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So, I will, first of all, if anybody has a question, you can go ahead and punch 5-star on your phone, and I'll answer you. And let's see here. So, let's see. Okay, I'm going to have Andrew unmute the first caller with a question. And so, go ahead, Andrew.
All right. 323-3458 has had a question for a while. I'll go ahead and unmute you now. So, state your name and your question.
Okay, caller, you got a question? Can you hear me? Are you unmuted? Let me check. Yeah, you're unmuted, looks like. Yeah, move on to the next one. We'll see if we have a problem on our end or somebody on that end has a problem. Just, you don't have to read the number, just check that.
All right, well, that's an old question. So. All right, next caller is unmuted.
Okay, caller.
Yeah, hey, it's Judy.
Oh, hey, Judy.
Hey, okay. You were talking about slowing down your life. I don't know if anybody's read Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. Well, that author, Richard Carlson, along with Joseph Bailey, wrote down a great little book. It's a nice, easy read. It's short. It's called Slow Down to the Speed of Life. It's really good. It got great reviews. I don't think it really, you know, got, it's a sleeper. It really didn't get out there as much as it should have. But if you want to try to figure out how you're going to do that in this crazy busy world of ours, it's a good read.
Okay. And it's by Richard Carlson?
Richard Carlson. He's the guy that wrote Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Okay.
And It's All Small Stuff. I'm sure everybody's taken a look at that book. A lot of times it's sitting in reception areas at doctor's offices, but it's also co-written by Joseph Bailey. Slow Down to the Speed of Life.
Sounds very good.
Okay.
That's the thing I love, is that there's so many good things coming out, you know, in any area of life. There's so much being learned about the mind and the body and emotions and our whole reality that it's out there if you look.
Also have one other question for you,
mm-hmm.
Ken. In your research, have you come across any information about, and this has been used by many countries, especially Russia, and then the United States, when they saw Russia doing it, they popped in and put a lot of money into a form of vision questing, using the mind to go out of body experience.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's the contractor that was used by the government to actually train the government agents that were doing this and, you know, using it to find, planes that went down in the ocean that weren't
right,
being able to be located. So this company, when this stuff became declassified, it's out there now, and you can learn through them. You can take their program, and I'll have to get the information to you, and you can share it with the group. I don't have it, you know, at my fingertips.
Well, I'm actually very familiar with what's called remote viewing.
Yeah,
a guy named Courtney
viewing.
Brown,
right,
who was the architect of the U.S. military's remote viewing operations. And basically what they did was they got a whole bunch of people, and they put them each in little rooms with a facilitator, and they would ask them all to focus on one particular subject. Let's say, you know, where is Osama bin Laden? This is what makes, when you know about all this stuff, it makes it such a joke about Osama not being found. So they'll have, let's say, 20, 30 people, each in individual little rooms. and they have a facilitator, and the facilitator will have them focus on where is Osama bin Laden, except they don't tell the person that's what they're focusing on. They'll just write down somewhere that, okay, we're looking for Osama bin Laden, and they assign it a random number. So each person that's going to be focusing on that, they get is a random number, and they're given that, and they're told to focus on it and see what they see. And of course, they pick people who are psychically gifted. And then they correlate what all these different people are seeing.
And they write down, they jot down their ideas.
Exactly. And so they see what they're seeing in common. And it's, from what Courtney Brown told me, it's extremely accurate. And not only that, but they can see extraterrestrial stuff. They can see off planet. They can see through time. They can see all kinds of stuff.
Well, what was found out, though, is we all have that ability.
Exactly.
We have to train to do it.
Exactly.
And it's like playing the violin. I mean, you really have to train to do it. You just don't pick up a violin and, you know, in a few days you're in Carnegie Hall. So.
Exactly. Yeah, I spent years doing like dream experiments and recording my dreams and waking up and, you know, recording what I had experienced. And I started seeing patterns and things in dreams that are quite amazing. And I figured out a lot of the different functions of dreams just from doing that.
I knew you'd know about remote viewing.
Yeah, I met Courtney Brown years ago. And what's interesting was he had, based on what he was seeing with remote viewing with the military, he was saying that, back in like the mid-90s, he expected that we would have extraterrestrial contact exposed to the public by like 1997 or so. And of course, that didn't happen.
Indigenous people called it Vision Quest.
What's that?
The indigenous people,
exactly.
Indians, Vision Quest.
And, you know, I've actually done Vision Quest with some Lakota Sioux Americans up in the Dakotas. And one of the things that they do, they have different ways of doing it. Some of them, they'll do, you know, sweat lodges and come out of sweat lodges. I mean, really hot sweat lodges. It'll put you in an altered state, and you can see kind of beyond the veil, so to speak. And then also they'll do things like peyote or marijuana sometimes. And then also some of them will do what's called the sun dance, where they will actually do these rituals usually out in the heat of the sun, where they'll, you know, put hooks in their back and hang themselves from trees, and the pain of all of that will actually send them into an altered state where they can see things and have vision quests. And then there are other techniques, you know, of going out, being isolated out in nature, all totally by yourself, and just sitting out in nature with real no protection for days and days on end. All of that, it's kind of like trauma-based mind control. All of that will open you up to a greater awareness. And
well, thanks for elaborating on that for us.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, are there any other questions? We don't have anybody else with any questions? Okay. All right, anybody have a comment? Remember, you can press 5-star on your phone if you want to ask a question. You know, the point of all of this is that there are practical things that you can do to release emotional issues and come back into balance, and that's kind of what I wanted to emphasize with all this stuff. You know, the concepts and the theory behind it are really to give you the why of why you want to do these things. You know, it's like I was talking today to someone about rebounding, which is bouncing on mini trampolines, you know, and people tell you, oh, that's really good for your health. Well, you know, why is it good for your health? Well, it's good for your health because your lymph system is like your circulation system without a pump, and when you bounce up and down, it moves lymph out of your body because your lymph system is structured with one-way valves that allow the lymph to go out but not come back in. And so by bouncing around and running and moving and exercise, you know, that'll detox the lymph out of you. Well, it's the same thing with all this mind and emotion stuff. If you understand, the more you understand about the concepts and the why, then it makes it easier to do the what, and it makes you more motivated to do that. So nobody has any questions? Okay. All right, then. Well, I guess then if nobody's got any questions, we'll end the call with this. And I thank you all for being in the workshop, and I really appreciate you, you know, listening to all this. And we will get this. Andrew and I are going to be leaving day after tomorrow to go to Sedona at the Raw Spirit Fest for a week, so we'll be gone for a week. When we get back, we'll get this edited and spliced together and burn it to CD and send it out to you guys. Actually, it'll be DVD because it won't be on regular audio CDs. It will be on one computer data DVD with MP3 sound files. So basically what that means is you won't be able to pop it into your stereo and play it right from your stereo, but you can pop it into your computer and listen to it with Windows Media Player or iTunes or something like that. Looks like we've got a question. Okay, caller, state your name. And
Yvonne Farah.
Hey, Yvonne.
Yes, and I wanted to talk to Carol Underwood on that hollow sound.
Hollow sync,
okay. Mm-hmm. Can she call me sometime, or I can give her my number?
Yeah, I guess the thing to do, I'll email both of you your contact information so you can get it.
Okay, great.
Okay, all right.
All right,
well, I guess then that's a wrap, and like I say, you'll be getting a DVD from us in a few weeks, so thank you, everybody, for participating. I noticed at the workshop, I always marvel at how, you know, I just stand up front and give out information, but it's you guys who create the love and the energy. And it's very interesting. So looks like we've got one question. So let's see. Okay, go ahead, caller. Who is it?
Ken?
Yes.
Also, you know, I also wanted to mention, HoloSync's great. I have it. But there's also a something that was out there before HoloSync, and that's HemiSync.
Oh, yeah, I know HemiSync. There's lots of them out there.
Right.
HemiSync, Brain Gym.
Right, and just like Bill Harris, they have retreats, and you can go there. And I really enjoy their stuff as well. It's kind of nice to blend them both because they both are coming from different creative standpoints, and they each have their own thing to contribute to this journey.
Yeah, and HemiSync is much less expensive than HoloSync.
Yes.
But I also think HoloSync will take you farther because they have a lot more, of a series, whereas HemiSync is like more, you know, just one-shot deals.
Yeah,
but
they're
much less
smaller
expensive
programs.
And if you want to find other programs like that out on the web, search on Binaural Beats, B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L, Beats, B-E-A-T-S, Binaural Beats. That's what all that technology is. It's just sound technology that pulses frequencies into the brain, and it does what's called brain entrainment, which slows the brain waves down. Just like listening to quiet music will calm you down, or listening to fast music will excite you. That's what that technology does. And there's a bunch of more and more of them out there every day. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, looks like we got another question here. Okay, caller, who is this?
Yvonne Farah.
Hi, Yvonne. Hey.
Okay, when you mentioned the Brain Gym, my kids were taking that in school.
Mm-hmm.
The Brain Gym,
mm-hmm,
where they were working with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that available also in like an audio form?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe it is.
Okay, have you worked with that at all in the audio form?
I have not worked with that.
Okay.
I was just told about that recently, and
okay,
some marketers were telling me about it. And there's, Andrew, do you remember what that one that Craig?
Because a lot of schools in California, actually started in California where they were using it in the school.
Yeah.
And they were using it before the kids were, taking a test and also, you know, on the playground, with the stretching.
Yeah. It works. It's phenomenal.
Okay. So where would I find that? Just Google Brain Gym?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was told about another one the other day, and I can't remember the name of it, that some marketing guy was telling me it was even better than HoloSync. But
well, what is HoloSync? Can you use that on children or?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
They do talk about it, and they caution, you know, with certain ages because it will bring up emotional, or it can bring up emotional issues, and you have to process through them. So if children, you know, don't understand what's going on with that, you know, I think they recommend children 12 and over to use it. But
12 and over, okay.
As long as you explain to the kids what's going on, and it depends on the child, you know, how developed they are. But yes, looks like we have another question. Okay. Caller, who is this?
Yeah, this is Karen Louisa Everson.
Oh, hey, Karen.
Hi. You mentioned Eckhart Tolle,
yes.
A New Earth.
Yes.
There is a website, oprah.com. You can go in and watch live.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great series. Oprah had him on for, like, I don't know how many weeks.
Yeah, I just saw some of it, and then I stopped.
Yeah.
But I think they're still on there. You can see.
He's very interesting because I really like his audio book, A New Earth, because he's very down to earth about it all. You know, he's not just theory. He talks about, you know, really practical things, and it just I found it to be very helpful. So yeah, it's a very good series. And Oprah, you know, she's got him on TV sitting there talking about all this stuff in very practical terms. So highly recommend him. Yeah. Okay.
Got one more.
Okay. Okay, caller, state your name.
Hi, it's Judy again.
Hi, Judy.
Listen, you know, you're mentioning kids, and I've got to tell you, June Lewis turned me on to one of Abraham Hicks, Esther and Jerry Hicks's wonderful series called Sarah. It's the Sarah series, book 1, 2, and 3. And this is a child's explanation of opening the mind, clearing the negative and opening up positive channels. It is beautifully done. It's done with Sarah and her animal friends. And I'll tell you what, it's good for adults, too, because it's so simplistic.
Yeah.
And it just, for those of us that are a little thick-headed, you know, if you listen to this, you go, oh, I get it.
Mm.
It's very simplistic. It's wonderful. And it's Esther and Jerry Hicks. That's the Abraham Hicks website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in audio form, and I'm recommending it to all my friends with kids and adults too.
And you know, Abraham Hicks, the Jerry and Esther Hicks, they are behind a lot of success gurus and healers and people who are shifting this planet to a better place. They're behind a lot of it. You know, there are a lot of people in realms of influence who go to them and get advice and information from them. So they're a big influence on the planet.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Well, I guess it looks like that's all the questions we have. So I guess then I will see and speak with some of you later. And like I say, we'll get this off to you in a couple of weeks. So thank you, everybody, for participating. And I'm sure I'll be seeing many of you again. So thank you all for participating. Good night. Let's see. Let me unmute you all so you can say good night. Sorry. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Ken. Thank
you
so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Good night.
Have a good trip.
Night, Andrew.
Night.
Bye-bye.